Man, Lord, thank you so much that you had so prepared this fall for the Gospel of John. And when we come on Sunday, even this past weekend, with so much that's happened, it's like, what text do you want to be in? Besides, let's elevate Jesus Christ as the good news from God right. to the world in distress, right. in all of its sin, in all of its evil, to say, eyes on Jesus. This is the hope that all of us need.
Welcome to The Weekly, a podcast brought to you by Calvary Bible Church. I'm your host, Jay Ewing. Thanks for tuning in. Like always, get connected and stay connected by visiting calvarybible.com. Click your campus and find out what is happening in your neck of the woods. We love what's going on this fall here at Calvary. We want you to jump in. Always go to calvarybible.com. All right, now to the show. We have the senior pastor of Calvary Bible Church with us, Thomas Milburn.
Are you used to that title, bud? You know what? It was like a week ago. I saw that I had to change my email, whatever that is, signature.
I was sitting next to you when you were.
I was like, oh, yeah. I got to change that. So it's all good.
I thought you were actually going to talk about the time you had to actually write your signature out in a legible way to fit on the membership booklets. I was like, this is fun.
It is, yeah. There's like some tasks that I just wasn't thinking about. Yes. All right, what are you coaching this fall?
What? No.
I'm the host of this thing, right?
No, you're not the host.
I'm not?
No.
Oh.
You're always a guest on this okay. show until I'm gone. Okay, so what is the most surprising thing about being senior pastor of Calvary? You're like, oh, I did not anticipate this.
The backpack's heavy.
Yeah, I bet.
I mean, I think in many ways, you know, Tom was so phenomenal in the way he empowers his leadership teams. So you're aware of conversations, environments, teams, decisions. You're actually influencing a lot of that from your seat. But what I told Tom is, and he knows this too, is like you just don't know what it's like until you're in the seat. You don't know the weight of it till you're the one sitting in the seat. And there's just a weightiness that you can't know until you occupy the seat. Yeah. And it's just one, it's one seat amongst many seats on the team.
Right.
There are a lot of important seats that are at Calvary to make Calvary the church that it is. But there's a new weight that I didn't even experience as a senior leader of a campus. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think you enjoy my jokes as much anymore being senior pastor.
Serious business now, man.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. 2 months in, he's not laughing at me anymore. He's not laughing with me. He's like, I don't know about you now.
Oh, that's terrible. But, you know, the coffee's the same.
Yeah.
You know, Calvary blend.
That's on purpose.
Is it the same on all three campuses? I should probably know that, but.
It's not, actually. Two of the three understand the gospel clearly.
Okay.
Of coffee.
So someone's not getting the Calvary blend.
Right now, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. If you're on the campus this Sunday, you should ask what blend it is.
Oh, my gosh. That'd be hilarious. But no, actually, can I tell you a funny story about the month of August around here?
Yeah, as long as it's funny.
Yeah. Well, we have the Calvary blend, which we love. And one Sunday, I came up to the coffee pot, pour my, you know, second cup of coffee on Sunday morning is the best cup of coffee all day. The second. It's always the second.
Why is the second one? Because you're not awake yet or what?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
But the second cup is always here on Sunday morning for me.
Yeah.
And I took a sip and I was like, something's off. I was like, these notes are different than the Calvary blend notes.
Wow, your palate's that
precise. I was like, what is going on? And so I was like, okay, that's fine. You know, didn't think much about it. Came in on Monday, walked into the kitchen, and saw that actually Brazil was being served instead of the Calvary.
Oh, really?
Yeah, someone had misordered for a few weeks, and we were drinking Brazil through the month of August.
Oh.
Yeah. But we're back to the Calvary blend.
My Calvary brew story is someone who is new to the Calvary Cafe Said, hey, I'll make the coffee for the group in the morning. I was like, okay, that's fine. I can do it. No, I'll do it. Okay. So I pour myself a cup of coffee. I'm drinking it. And there's just like, just a lot of grounds in the cup. And I mean, I would say like the bottom of the cup was mostly grounds. I'm like, how is this possible? So I went to go look in the kitchen of like how they brewed it. And they didn't think they needed one of the paper filters.
Oh, yeah.
They just like poured into the metal basket.
Yeah.
So it was strong.
I bet it was.
You only need one cup of that coffee.
Yeah. The Haitians were here and they were complaining how weak our coffee tasted.
That's true.
Week. I was like, oh, man.
You're sorry, guys. Don't you like bright coffee? They're like, no.
Don't you like coffee that's dark and thick, like syrup? I'm like, no. It's funny. It's all about preference, my friend.
It is preference.
And some people at Calvary do not like the Calvary blend, but that's okay. Because
there are other churches. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Okay, I do want to take over the show for a minute.
Yeah, totally.
You preached this weekend.
Yeah, I did.
How'd it go for you?
You know, it was interesting. You know, we, from time to time, ask you guys about how sermon prep goes, right?
Yeah.
What are the rhythms? With this rhythm, it really was strange to be Tuesday out on like the Tuesday before and like the sermon was written.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's, we use this weird analogy of like giving birth to sermons because sometimes it happens late at night when you're not expecting it. Sometimes the Lord wakes you up in the middle of the night. Sometimes he rewrites it at Sunday morning. Sometimes it's laborious in a lot of ways. And the guys like Perry and Zach and you who do it over and over again, like are just, the weight of that is just incredible. Like people do not understand when you go to bed on Saturday night, it is in the back of your head. When you go to, you know, like when you're talking to friends on Friday afternoon, when everyone's free, cause the weekend's here, you are thinking about this thing that is going to happen on Sunday morning. And so Tuesday, I was like, man, what are you doing, Lord? What did I miss? You know what I mean? And it was an invitation, honestly, with what the week transpired to be, was a week of prayer and a week of like really sensing and praying for the Spirit to move among us.
Yeah.
And so this preach was strange in the way that it was settled in my heart, but not settled in the Spirit. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I'm sure that has happened to you before, and you're like, man, Wednesday, Thursday, I'm not really working on the sermon. Now I'm praying for what the Lord's going to do with it.
Yeah.
And that was the week that I had.
That's great.
Did you catch, and I wasn't in Monday morning quarterback yesterday in the preaching cohort, but I only had one application.
Yeah, you had one. You told us that in the very beginning.
Yeah.
I only have one thing.
One thing. And that was, I've never done, that's never happened.
Yeah.
Preach before. But
I think it's great. I think your aim of, hey, wherever you're at, to have an elevated affection for Jesus Christ. We're going to sing, you know, in like 26 minutes, you said.
Yeah.
And my goal is to help you understand who Jesus is in a greater way. So that when we sing of Christ, my hope in life and death, that it is in a different category than it would have been if we sang it before this message.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was just, you know, the Lord's leading in that.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I think the Lord is so kind. We, as an, you know, expositionally teaching church, we try to map out series in advance. We're always willing to surrender anything to the Lord.
And we have done that.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
But it's like, man, Lord, thank you so much that you had so prepared this fall for the Gospel of John. And when we come on Sunday, even this past weekend, with so much that's happened, it's like, what text do you want to be in? Besides, let's elevate Jesus Christ as the good news from God to the world in distress, in all of its sin, in all of its evil, to say, eyes on Jesus. This is the hope that all of us need.
Yep.
So,
and to your point, when Nicodemus sits down with Jesus, he doesn't know who he's talking to.
Not yeah, fully. He thinks he's talking to a rabbi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he is sitting face to face, eye to eye, in a very intimate conversation at night with the author of the universe. Mm-hmm. Like, that is incredible if you think about it.
And that's what I want to hear from. I want to hear from the author of the universe.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he sits down and he has a very genuine conversation with the realization at the end. I think it's maybe the realization that then we don't get a sort of ending of the story
yeah.
in the sense of John 3. But he sees that how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus explains to him how it works.
Yeah.
And do you have ears to hear how it works?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, that's right. I think there's something to say about how we prepare ourselves to hear mm-hmm. from the Lord, right? So we step in on Sunday and I'm curious, how have people prepared themselves to encounter the worship, the word, community? Are we even ready to hear from the Lord? I think of Nicodemus, I wonder if he wrote up some questions that he had, or what would be my first lead off question, or how am I going to start this conversation?
Right.
But, you think about even the events of last week with the remembrance of 9/11, you think about our local, just 30 minutes from here, another, school shooting up in Evergreen. Think about the political unrest because of the murder with Charlie Kirk. And as people came in on Sunday, I thought, I wonder what their last 4 days have been. Mm-hmm. When you heard the news and were informed of what was going on, did you create space for silence? Was there place for solitude? Mm-hmm. What was prayer life like? What scriptures did you read? What community, in-person community, did you engage with? Mm-hmm. Or did we just allow ourselves to be in a constant, uninterrupted stream of digital content that has an analog, has an
algorithm.
An algorithm to it.
Oh,
to say, you clicked on this, I'll give you more.
Totally.
You clicked on this, I'll give you more. And did we spend 72 plus hours in a constant stream of anger, violence? Did we just keep watching stuff? It's like, man, I don't think that would have prepared me well to engage on Sunday.
Yeah.
And I think this is a good practice for all of us. When we experience these really horrific events or we're exposed to horrific things, there are practices that Christians embody, which is silence, solitude, prayer, community, the word, mm-hmm. that can't be absent in our preparation for Sunday.
Yeah. I think of even last week of how many parents were reading news cycles while their kids were playing in front of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're guys, life is still happening in front of you. Mm-hmm. Your community is still in front of you.
Yeah.
And you care where you want to get spun up from that algorithm. And let's just be honest, it's a robust algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. Instead of being actively present for what God is doing right yeah. in front of you.
And I might not even say in some ways, I don't want to diminish the severity of what's happening.
No doubt.
But it's it can't be in the absence of, right? So it's hey, you're informed. You understand the gravity of this. This is really, really challenging. But at the same time, how are we engaged with the reality of life in front of us,
right?
We can't be removed and just live in digital space.
Yep.
Yeah.
No doubt. It reminds me of the first season of COVID, right?
Yeah.
In the sense of, and I was thinking about this story last night, of you and I got together with Father Stephan in town from St. Luke's, and we met him a year after, right? And the first question he said is, how are you doing, with COVID? How's the community doing with COVID? And I was we've had our challenges, things like that. And I was how are you doing? He's man, we haven't stopped repenting every Sunday for the last year. And I thought, I don't think I personally have repented in the last year about the tragedy of a worldwide pandemic. And I was really struck by that. And really transformed in a way in which invited into the Gospels.
Totally.
Man, when you read the Old Testament and tragedies happen, what's the first thing they do? they repent.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Like they repent. Like even the life of David, like if something happened to a family member or in his community, what did he do? He repented for it.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know if I repented last week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, Lord, have mercy on me for 9/11. You know what I mean? Like 24 years, and we've committed to them, those individuals and those families, never to forget.
Yeah.
Like, have we forgotten?
It's okay. That's a good, this is not where I thought the show was going, but
yeah, this is not where exciting. I thought it was going either.
But you just think about, okay, so in the midst of whatever, so it could be like national tragedy, local tragedy, it could be a natural disaster, whatever. Yeah. It's like, okay, are you creating space for silence, repentance? Mm-hmm. Are you getting around God's word? What's your prayer life look like?
Are you getting around God's people?
Getting around God's people, right? In like
wise wisdom.
In physical people. Spaces.
Yeah, physical spaces.
Breathing the same air kind of around God's people.
Are you worshiping together?
Are you worshiping together? What else would we add to that?
Yeah. I would actually, even in our nation's history, the presidents of old would call even for fasting for a nation. Like if you read some of the greatest moments and tragedies in U.S. history, the early presidents would call for days of fasting from the nation. Are we fasting?
That's good. So I think those are helpful practices if you've been totally unengaged in what's happening. You're like, who cares? Like, no, it actually really matters.
Yeah.
But it matters through these practices, how you engage the world. If you've been really, really distressed, which would be, I think, the natural response. Mm-hmm. Like, have you included some of these rhythms? And if you haven't, like, I just encourage people to start doing it today.
Yeah.
Meet with the Lord, meet with one another, get around his word, and allow him inform you. I think the first place I went was the Beatitudes, or at least where I jumped in with the scriptures in my time. And just right off the bat, it's like, blessed are the peacemakers. It's like, you know, a lot of people post like thoughts and prayers, sending good vibes. It's like, no, the Lord has given us something very, very tangible to do. Mm-hmm. He says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So the children of God are activated to go make peace, not peacekeepers, but peacemakers. And peacemakers take two parties that are in conflict or issues that are in tension and resolve that. Mm-hmm. And so by the grace of God, how are we commissioned and like sent out into families, communities, whatever, to resolve or to make peace? That is an attribute of being the people of God.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, it's got to be said too that there's so many other things that happened in the world last week. And part of it is, and I think John Eldridge has spoken to this in the last couple of years, is like, you were never designed as a human being to know all the tragedies in the world at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
That is only what God himself could carry.
Yeah.
And he speaks to like the digital age in that we're becoming godlike in how we know what is happening in the world.
Yeah.
And that weight is actually crushing us. And so when even national tragedies happen, like in Utah this last week, like the response should be all those things. And then what in my world right now, can I make a difference?
Yeah.
How can I show mercy? How can I bring peace? How can I comfort those who are mourning?
Yeah.
And not just nationally, so I can fire off a tweet or something on X or a post or write anything or add to a conversation within Reddit. No, it's like, what can I do within my own home today? What can I do within my own grocery store?
That will have a greater impact.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's going to have this effect that's going to move beyond just your immediate situation.
It's kingdom.
Yeah.
It's the kingdom idea of mustard seed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very small. And I think in the last like 6 weeks, how I've had 8 personal deaths in my life through connection with the community at Calvary. And then just thinking about the distress that people are in. Like you think of, we had, you know, Wawa and Jacques up here and, you know, we love them. We're in partnership with them. They preached at Calvary. They're pastors in Haiti and they're experiencing the senseless murder of staff members or their only family members from gang violence in Haiti. Of just the challenges of kidnappings and rapes that are happening. And like, I want them to get eyes on the Lord. Like, how does the Lord be their strength?
Right.
I think about our friends that are from Nepal, like our Nepalese community here at Calvary.
Oh my gosh.
they are in so much distress right now because what's happening in Nepal.
Yeah.
Like the government is collapsing. People are being murdered. It's like, oh man, they have all this political violence. And their hearts are there and they're thinking about their family members. And it's like, okay, what does everybody need? They need like get open up John, like good news, right? I mean, it's like the world is filled, to your point, with daily bad news.
Right.
The world's filled with it. Your personal life is filled with it. And so we need good news, and not good news that's like pleasantries or platitudes.
Nothing. We don't need anything. Good news that's in Hobby Lobby. Sewn on a pillow. We don't need that good news.
Maybe not the one that says like, all I need is a cup of coffee.
Yeah, and Jesus.
And Jesus. But, but the Jesus part's good. I need Jesus. The gospel is good news, right? It's the gospel according to John, who witnessed the life, the ministry, the death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ, to whom all authority has been given.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, that's what I need when I'm trying to navigate this really, really challenging world. How is it that I get around the one who has all authority, who then gives me his spirit, and the spirit of Christ dwells in us to guard our hearts and our minds, that we would have the peace of Christ. Mm. Like not as the world gives peace, but as Christ gives peace, like a peace that can't even be explained.
Yeah.
It's like, that's what I need.
That's right. Because what you behold is what you become.
Yeah.
And I think that was the lesson I personally learned even after Sunday morning. I was so wiped out after 11 o'clock. Like more than I ever had been.
But then we brought you to Starting Point.
Yeah.
Tell us more, Jay.
Here's the thing, like, I am more and more convinced that the more you behold Jesus Christ, like, genuinely behold him in the sense of knowing his word, knowing his words, you hang on every red letter that he says, you think about it, you meditate on it, you pray through it, you talk with him about what he said. The more you behold Jesus Christ, the more you are transformed into his image over and over again. Yeah, I know where you're going. You're going to 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians?
Where are you going? I don't know. Okay. You keep going, man.
Anyway, but we behold and we are transformed. And that is what we need at these days, is we need a clear vision, a clear reality of who Jesus is. Because if we get that, we become what we behold.
Yeah. I went to 2 Corinthians 5. That's what you're thinking. I don't know. This is why it matters.
Glory to glory.
No, that's not where I was going.
Okay.
But in 5, to your point, why it matters. Like, why does it matter for the Christian to continue to be formed by Christ in this moment? Is because of this. The 2 Corinthians 5, I'll pick it up in 17. Therefore, so there's a whole bunch of teaching of reconciliation that Christ has done before this, but therefore, in light of the work of Christ, if anyone is in Christ, so it's like, Christian, you're in Christ. He is, or she is, a new creation. The old, like the old way of thinking of the world, behaving in the world, that's totally changed.
Yeah.
The old is gone. Behold, the new has come. And all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So he reconciled us to God. And the ministry of Christ is to reconcile people back to God and to one another. So he gave us the ministry. So you think about, what are we to be doing in the world today? Well, we are ambassadors, as he's going to say, of a kingdom, of a ministry called reconciliation. Again, peacemakers, right?
Right.
And he says, he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. The message of reconciliation is the gospel. That's why we're looking at John. Like, what is it that Jesus has done that we proclaim that reconciles people back to God out of sin, out of death, into life? Well, it's the gospel. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. And then he says, therefore, in verse 20, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And it's like, just think about this week. You are an ambassador for something. It could be for your own self, you know, exaltation. It could be for a company, a community, a country, a cause. If you're a Christian, you're an ambassador for one person, Jesus Christ and his kingdom. And so whatever we do, whatever we say, wherever we go, however we act, act as an ambassador with the message of reconciliation, with the message of the gospel, good news. And the best part is that's what the world is hungry for right now, to go be a courageous Christian sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I implore you, I encourage you, I tell you, be reconciled to God. And you do that through Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Which is why, like, let's go back to John.
Yeah, it's like, John 3:16, for God so loved the world.
Yeah, this is the message, right? It's like, well, who's God? Well, let me tell you about this.
Yeah.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would have eternal life.
Yeah. Shall not perish.
Like who? Whoever.
Yeah.
Like we are perishing. I'd love it in your sermon. It's like the world is already kind of condemned.
It's already condemned. That's what Jesus says.
It's the judgment. Like I look at the world and go, it's condemned. And we would say, the thing about the word, you know, it's like condemnation, but in the sense of like structures, mm-hmm. like that are so rotted, yeah. like the interior is gone, the structural stability is eroded. You would right. say, we have to condemn that building. Why? Because that building is going to collapse. It's going to kill whoever lives in it.
Yeah.
We would look around the world and say, man, it's kind of in that condition. But God so loved the world, not the condition of the world, but so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And I love in John 3 that you taught on, he didn't send his son to condemn us.
Yeah.
He came to save us. Right. And so that's, the gospel message, the witness, what we're ambassadors to is, hey, the Lord loves the world.
Yep.
And we want you to know that there is a salvation to draw you out of this current structure that is collapsing.
Yeah, no doubt. And the reality is that when Jesus says he loves the world, it's very unlovable. But because of it's his, he loves it. He sees that it can be reconciled. He sees that it can be restored, made new through his work.
Right, you might think of it this way, because it can be confusing to people of like, does he love the world in its current condition? Think of like your child, for those of you who have kids, or maybe you just think of a loved one that, man, you just love them. That's your offspring. That's your daughter. That's your son. And perhaps they've made decisions that have gotten them really, really in a bad spot. Maybe they have like some really bad habits that have really crushed their mental acuity or their physical abilities.
Right.
They've gotten, some addictions in their life. And most of the world would look at him and say like, oh my gosh, what a mess. What a problem. But you look at them and say, I love them. Mm-hmm. And you would want to do anything to step into that situation and pull them out of the very thing that's destroying their life.
That's right.
That's God's attitude towards us is, man, these are my children. This is my offspring. They're the image of God in the world. And look at how they have gotten themselves in this current distress of death. I got to do something about this.
No doubt.
I want to do something about this. Not to shame them and condemn them and say, I can't believe you did this, but to rescue us and save us. And the best part is we are ambassadors of that.
Yeah.
Now, if I were God, I probably would have done it a different way.
Yeah. I don't think you want Jay to be the ambassador.
Because I'm so messy, right? Yeah. I'm so imperfect. I have the wrong response. I say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing at times. But he's like, no, I'm committed. I'm committed to working through this human agency mm-hmm. in partnership with them being filled with the Holy Spirit to make the message of reconciliation known.
Yeah, that's right.
So go have that conversation with people.
Yep.
Like that's what we're about.
That is what we're about. All right, as we turn the corner into even the second part of John 3 this week and head into John 4, what are you hoping we gain as the people of God of Calvary from sort of the back half of chapter 3 to 4?
All right, so the back half of chapter 3 is going to be another look at the exaltation of Christ.
Yep.
And there's a possibility for many people who have the message of reconciliation. You're going to see John the Baptist who has the message of preparation, of he's a witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of Christians that want to draw attention to themselves mm-hmm. and become the centerpiece or the cause or whatever. And what John's going to do and encourage us to do is, no, attention off me. Go to Jesus. And the end of three is going to answer this question. Why is it more important that people connect their lives, follow Jesus instead of us? What can Jesus do for them that none of us can do for our followers.
Yep.
That's Sunday.
Yes.
Like, what can Jesus do for his followers that no one else can do for their followers? And then chapter four, I'm really excited for chapter four. So in 2 weeks, if you're listening to this, bring a friend who is really far from God or wants to know who God is like, because chapter four is going to embody John 3:16. If you want to know what John 3:16 looks like when it enters your life, we're in John 4. It's going to be awesome.
That's a great setup, Thomas. I really appreciate that setup for the next couple of weeks here at Calvary. Looking forward to it, my friend.
It's going to be good.
What an adventure we're on in John.
Yes.
So good. So good. Who knew that the Lord would be so kind to put us here? It's great. It's great. Calvary, we're so grateful that you're tuning in. Like always, visit calvarybible.com. Click your campus, get connected, and stay connected here at Calvary. You don't want to miss the remainder of the Gospel of John. Be reading ahead, be studying ahead, be praying ahead for what God will do in our lives as a people of God. Let me leave you with this from John 3:30, one of my favorite verses. It's a haunting verse in the sense that it's really hard to live out. But John the Baptist says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." As the people, let us be reminded and encourage one another that he must increase and we must decrease. We love you. Talk to you soon. Have a good week.